begin our time of worship together. I would ask you would stand with us and sing our call to worship, Emmanuel. Just as good as the other. Amen. And so let us now be seated for the light of our Advent candles as the Kawakama family comes and does so. Should be a microphone there.
I'm not going to use it. The scripture is Isaiah 35, verse 10. We light this candle as a symbol of Christ's joy. May the joyful promise of your presence, O God, make us rejoice in our hope of salvation. And then if you will all join us, O come, Emmanuel.
Now let us sing the fourth verse of O Come Emmanuel as you find in your hymn book on page 211.
Thank you.
And as you remain standing, if you would turn with me to page 858, Psalms 146. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. Put not your trust in princes and mortals in whom there is no help.
Earth and every day plans perish.
Happy are those who help is in the God of Jacob, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord watches over the sojourners. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, from generation to generation. Let us remain standing and sing hymn 230, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Thank you. We finally got there, didn't we? Amen. Let us pray together. Sometimes the silence is the hardest part of the prayer. Sometimes it's waiting on your answer, O Lord, is the hardest time and part of faith. Sometimes we want more than we need. And sometimes the things we need are the things we're least concerned about. And yet we come to pray as a family, as those united together in love and grace. We come together seeking your will, even if we don't understand it or have any clue what it would be if it came to us. But we are not different. We are like your apostles who wandered and tried to figure out what you were saying, and you remind them over and over again of your death, and when it happened they were amazed and appalled that what you said actually came true. And it took time for them to figure out that the resurrection actually occurred. We are not different. We pray for each other, as we should. We lift up holy names in that prayer, as we should, and yet sometimes we pray with doubt that the prayers will be answered. Then sometimes we pray and they are answered, and we are not sure that we're happy when the answer comes. We are like them. We're like the ones who have gone before us, who have that one simple place. Faith suggests we don't have to understand. We don't have to explain a virgin birth. We just simply believe. We don't have to explain walking on water. We just simply believe it happened. We don't have to explain how people's eyes were given sight and the dead was raised. We just simply praise God that it did, and it has, and it will. And so on this day, as we have lifted up holy names to you earlier in our time together, as we have given praise to you, as we have been aware of your presence, we don't have to explain why we feel the Holy Spirit today, or why some days we don't feel you at all and yet know you're still there. We just have to have faith. For this is a season of faith. It's a season of believing that a child will be born. It is a season of believing that there's no room for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the stable. And sometimes there's no room for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our soul. And yet we need to make room, for He has made room for us. So the journey continues. The preparation for the walk to the birth is happening, and we are along for the journey. May the God who gives us the trip, may God who gives us the strength, may the God who allows us to celebrate anniversaries and birthdays. And the one who allows us to celebrate eternity, be present with us. Now allow us to pray as you taught your children, the apostles, to pray when you said to them, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before we stand and sing Angels We Have Heard on High, I do want to thank those who gave for the poinsettias. You have in your insert, I'm assuming, the list of poinsettias in memory of and in honor of folks, and we praise God for each one of them. I love poinsettias, don't y'all? I'm deathly allergic to them, but I love them with all my heart. I do. And so I love seeing them. I love being part of them. And I love the sinus medicine I'll take when I get home to overcome them. I'm glad they made those. And so I love seeing them in church. And so I wouldn't do without them for nothing. So we praise God for them. Our next hymn is Angels We Have Heard on High. It is page 238. Let us stand and let us sing together. And after that, we will have our tithes and offering and a special song by Karen Mason for us during our offering. Seated, we'd ask our ushers to come forward, please. where they come. I miss singing with y'all. Maybe next week it'll happen. Let us pray together. May the grace of the one who gives us everlasting life give us the joy of giving as Christ gave to us. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I got the pastor's throat.
Praise God for whom all blessings flow. Praise God.
As you remain standing, we're in 1 Thessalonians. Y'all know where that is, amen? In your scriptures, you'll find it on the screen if you don't have it in your Bibles open to it. Chapter 5, verse 16. Everybody ready? Smiling? Ready to go? Happy? All right, folks, it's a week before Christmas. I expect Christmas smiles and Christmas amens. You ready? Okay. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, begin with verse 16, we hear these words. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Rejoice. Rejoice. And pray. With all that we are and all that we ever be, will be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Rejoice always. How good are y'all at that? Are you really good at rejoicing always? When the guy or the gal that drives you absolutely crazy decides to spend most of the day with you, do you rejoice? When things go wrong completely, any of y'all ever have anything go wrong completely? Just totally and completely, if it could have went worse, you don't know how. Did you find yourself rejoicing? Paul says, blame it on Paul, it's not my fault. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. This is the end, by the way, of the letter to Thessalonians, the first letter anyway, that he is sending, and he is doing his ending words as he's getting ready to tell them goodbye and start to thank everybody for everything they've done, as he does in most of his letters. And after he's talked to them about Jesus coming back and the turmoils of life and all the different issues that they're going through, and he's laid it all out in front of them, how bad it can be and how the coming will be something that we're not fully expecting, he then gives them these words, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. And then he says this, give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. The Christian way of living, it's what the church does, amen? We never do anything but rejoice and give thanks and pray always, amen? You know, not to scare y'all, because I'm not going to do this, even though I've walked down here and I realize I'm now out of the camera's range, but it'll hear my voice. I want you to think about it. I grew up in a church where pew hopping was a normal Sunday. Y'all pew hop ever? Any of y'all, you have any, anybody else pew hop? You don't know what pew hopping is? Well, I'm too old to show you. Okay, but in the church I grew up in, it was not unusual. Somewhere in the middle of the singing, or if the pastor got a little exuberant, It was not unusual for people to stand up in their pews and hop from pew to pew over the backs of the pews. I remember to this day, all my cousins now, my cousins listen to my sermons. I don't know if they think I'm getting better with age or what it is, but they all listen to my sermons as we go along. I remember this day, my grandmother, before, bless her heart, before she turned, right after she turned 80, and my mom, who was at that point in her late 50s, got happy one Sunday morning. Y'all have been happy in church? You know, except when somebody fed you, they've been happy in church. And so they got happy one Sunday morning. And on one side of the pews, my mama was climbing pews. On the other side, my grandmother, all 5'2" of her, 104 pounds, was literally jumping pews. And the pastor got so excited. It's a Baptist church I grew up in, so make sure you understand. The pastor got so excited, the pulpit's course in the middle. And in this church, there was no bunch of steps on the side like all good Baptist churches. The steps were on the side. And the pulpit's here. And we had what was called a mourner's bench. Language y'all may not know. Mourner's bench was this nice long bench that people came and prayed on. It also is where you put the casket on when they came for funerals. Hence the term mourner's bench. He got so excited in his late 70s, he jumps off the top of the thing over the mourner's bench, lands on the floor, and starts running up down the aisle shouting and praising God as people are jumping over pews. Okay? That's the church I grew up in. All right. I left that church to go to a more quiet Baptist church. And then I went to Carson Newman College. It was really quiet. And then I went to a black seminary. It wasn't quiet there. Now, they didn't jump pews. But they talked back to me, which I really liked. You know, in a good way. Bless him, Jesus. Help him, Lord. I always knew I was in trouble with the sermon when the people in the out front said, help him, Lord, and they were wiping sweat off their brow and I wasn't wiping it off mine. It was a bad thing. And so, happy rejoicing. We show rejoicing in different ways, but we all should rejoice in the Lord. We should have a rejoicing time. And so that's what I wonder. Do we rejoice? We're Sunday before Christmas Eve. The trip's going to happen for long, and Mary's going to ride 9 months pregnant on a donkey to go to a stable to have a baby. Do you ever wonder? We'll talk more about this next week in a different way, but do you ever wonder how much rejoicing Mary was doing as he was told you're going to have the baby in a manger, in a stable? You know, Mary Lynn would have looked at me and said, typical man didn't make a reservation. And I would say, that's why I have you make the reservations. It's hard sometimes in different circumstances to rejoice. We find ourselves sometimes sad. We find ourselves sometimes distraught with what's going around us and in the world. We find ourselves struggling with life. And then when Paul lays on us this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. And then he adds the following words, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Did you ever want to say back to Paul, I don't want this will. Let's try the alternative plan. This is not the way I wanted this to go. So we're supposed to rejoice in the midst of all the things that are happening. And yet what Paul's trying to get us to do is to rejoice to the fact that no matter where we are in our circumstances, God is walking with us in them and giving us the hope and the strength to move through the places we are walking through. But we have to learn, as one of my dear pastor friends says all the time, one of his favorite statements is, we have to learn to lighten up. Those who know me know that I'm 99% serious all the time. I'm just really not light until I get choir practice. Then I like to give the choir director a hard time, which is why I usually get kicked out of choir. It's serious to me. Salvation is serious. And he will always look at me and say, David, you just need to lighten up. And I realize what he's finally saying to me is, do you really trust God to do what God says he'll do? Do I trust in the one who created all things and has a baby born of a virgin? Do we put our faith there? Now watch it. Paul's not done. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets. But test everything and to hold fast to what is good. Now we'll leave the little last part for a second. Do not quench the Spirit. So I'm praying, right? I'm believing, right? I am constantly questioning, but I won't quench the Spirit. So here's a question for you. In our room, including the two of y'all, by the way, in our room this morning, in our sanctuary, where's the Spirit? In us? Do we agree? In us and filling the room. So you get two things. You get a double whammy, for lack of a better term. It's in us and it fills the room. So the Holy Spirit is in y'all, it's in y'all, it's in y'all, it's everywhere, it's in each of us, right? Amen. Holy Spirit's here. Y'all believe that? Amen? You believe the Holy Spirit's here? You believe the Holy Spirit's here in you? So, where is the Holy Spirit not at? If you believe, now see how you are with this. If you believe in prevenient grace, which very simply says the Holy Spirit is in you telling you of your need for God even before you know that you have a need for God. Now that's a simple explanation, okay? Much deeper than that, but just for that. Then everywhere that is, the Holy Spirit is present. Now we could use omnipresent and cover it, but I really think it's deeper than that word suggests. It's everywhere. So does the Spirit, God, if we believe that the Spirit and Jesus and God are one, seen three ways, does the Spirit ever leave you or forsake you? So when you're riding on the donkey and you're 9 months pregnant and you ride into town and there's no place for you to sleep, and you have to go find a stable to lay down in and hope that your husband knows how to muck out the stable, so you'll have a place that's clean to lay down in on clean straw. Has the Spirit left? In fact, in her case, the Son of God's residing in her womb. So when you're in the hospital, pastors have this privilege, and I know people say it's not a privilege, but I think it is. When you're in the hospital and you're holding somebody's hand as they die, and you have those last words with them, whether they're conscious or not, it really doesn't matter. And you feel the presence of life leave them. And the Holy Spirit is with them from here to heaven. The privilege of feeling that moment. It's not saying it. It's not any words that pass. And you feel the Holy Spirit's presence in the moment. And we're talking about praying all the time and feeling God's presence and not quenching the Spirit. There's a transformative moment that happens to every one of you. If you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, and I know we talk about being saved and that's important and it's exciting and it's part of who we are, but I want to talk to you about something that's beyond just the salvation moment. There's a transformative moment where you feel the power of the Holy Spirit enter you, where you feel the strength of God being part of you, when you know that salvation leads to a more stronger strength and a greater knowledge of God, even though you may not know one word of the Bible. According to Jesus, it's written on our hearts now, not just in a book. And it becomes a living word that lives in us. And that's what's given to us when we read this scripture. And Paul's telling us to walk through this, to not despise the word of the prophets who proclaim Jesus is coming. Test everything. Test your spirit. Test your strength. Look at what's going on to you and hold fast to what is good. And what is good is the Holy Spirit that resides in you and gives you strength and hope and peace in a time of need. That's what he's trying to get us to see. And then he finishes with, abstain from every form of evil. I'm convinced that evil is not that easy to define. Well, you know, it's the Ten Commandments. Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm good. Stay with those. They're important. But you know, we're going to have a cookie swap, right? I love cookie swap. I love cookies, so let's just stay with that. One cookie's good for me. Two cookies is okay. A dozen is a sin. Because if I eat all 12, guess what? It's good for what part of my being? That one's what fat preachers don't ever preach on, gluttony. Look at the process of this. But you're supposed to abstain from that. Let me give you one little underlying thing, then we'll move on. To abstain from sin is to abstain from hate. You can dislike actions. But if a person is created in the image of God, if you hate a person, you hate the image of God. Now, you can dislike their actions all day long. But you've got to abstain from sin. That's just one way to go with it. You can go 100 different ways. So how do we conclude with this? George, you're really hoping I do. You don't ever sit in that chair. That's where the hot air blows off. Marilyn moved over to this seat. She's up here fanning. If you ever want to get hot and you're cold, just come and sit right here behind the blower, the fan of the projector. It's about 90 degrees warmer in that chair than it is that one. She's sitting there blowing. How do we conclude with this? How's your faith? Say it again. How is your faith? Now notice what I didn't ask. Okay, I want to make sure you hear what I didn't ask. I didn't ask how you think I believe your faith ought to be. I didn't ask how you believe your parents or your spouses or your co-workers or your brothers and sisters, whoever it is around you, believe your faith ought to be. They don't get to define it. Who defines your faith? You and God. So now let me ask the question again. How is your faith? When you answer that question, you can answer everything that Paul just wrote about. And now the simple answer to faith. There really is no real simple one, but this is as simple as I can get. How is the peace in your soul? Are you at peace? When all the world around you is going, as they used to say, to hell in a handbasket. In the midst of your soul, are you at peace? Things don't have to be right. But inside of you, there has to be a peacefulness. How's your peace? Let us pray together. Rejoice and pray, O Lord. We rejoice that you love us and we pray to you. We sin. We admit it. In fact, we admit it boldly. And we ask forgiveness in the same boldness. And we trust. But let us not quench your spirit. For the Spirit will change everything. Now may the God of the one who gives us everlasting life allow us to know the difference between faith and lack of faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now friends, we're going to stand and sing our closing song, which is the First Noel's, page 245. But before we do that, when I come and pray at the end, I'm going to bless cookies and other things that are over there. We're in the Pears and Spares Room, I believe, which is out this door and down that first hallway right by the front doors. Please come and swap cookies. And if you didn't bring cookies, we'll let you swap some anyway. We'd like for you to take cookies home because what you don't take, I have to eat. Amen. So please take. There's some good cookies back there. We'll enjoy our time together. Reminds you the altar is open. Come and pray as God leads you to the First Noel, 245. Here we go. There we are. Everybody do fine. It's going to be a blessed day. Remember next Sunday, bring your pillows. If you need a little more comfortable set on, we'll be good. We'll be here a little bit, but we'll have a good time and rejoice in the Christmas Eve and fourth Sunday of Advent service. Let us pray together. We thank you, O Lord, for our visitors. We ask, O Lord, that they have been blessed by your presence and our worship. May you be with them and walk with them and give them strength in their time with us. May we have fed them the Word of God so that they will be changed, not because of us, but because of you. Now let us enjoy our time together as family. As we partake of cookies, we wish everyone who's had a birthday and anniversary this month or will have one a blessing and a grace. And we ask, O Lord, that you would give us a peace in our journey. Now let's go in that peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.